we don't have many more sessions to look into Brother Paul's life. It's getting down close to the end of his life now, but I want to look at it again tonight with you. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 28, and we're going to start looking in verse number 16 and read the remaining portion of that chapter. I realize I've kind of passed over a lot of the experiences that we could have shared with Paul from the time the shipwreck took place until here, but we're going to try to just more or less summarize his life. That's what we're doing. So look in Acts chapter 28 and look at verse 16. And you find out here that Paul and his so-called crew have now finally reached Rome. Chapter 28, verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. I want to share a message about a person to be remembered. And of course, it's the Apostle Paul. How can we forget Paul? Let me put you to a little quiz. You weren't prepared and didn't know it, but it won't be difficult. How many of you remember the last Pulitzer Prize winner? Raise your hand. The last Pulitzer Prize winner. All right. How many of you remember the last person to win a gold medal at the Olympics, the last Olympics? How many of you remember the actor, the best noted actor for 2017? Who was he? Do you remember the name of the best actress voted for 2017? Well, we haven't done too well on any of them, have we, really? Now, think about it just a minute. We might have heard their names, and I'm sure we have, all of us, but do we remember them? I mean, not hardly even passing beyond the TV screen, possibly. We don't remember them. Why don't we remember them? Now, we recognize their names, but they don't relate to us personally. That's why we don't remember. Let me make it a little easier for you. How many of us can remember one or more persons in your life, male or female, who have been a blessing to you, who have maybe mentored you, who have loved you, helped you, stood by you all those many years? How many can you name, one or more? Every one of us can name at least one or more, can't we? And do you remember them? You'll always remember them, won't you? You'll never forget them. Why is it? They related to us on a very personal basis. And we'll never, never, ever forget them. They're precious to us. They'll always be precious to us. One of the greatest ladies I've ever met in my life, church, passed away back in September. Miss Betty Smith in South Carolina. One of the most godly women I've ever met in my life. And I know she prayed for me every day. I know she loved me and my family. And I'll never forget her. I could just name person after person, professors, Bible teachers, preachers. I could name all kinds of people, male and female, who've been blessing in my life. And I'll never, ever forget them. A number of people in your life and mine would fit that description, wouldn't they? We all know at least one or more, I'm sure. Well, Paul the Apostle is such a man. You can't forget him. He's so personal. He testified in his day physically. When he lived here, walked here in the flesh, he testified. His life touched so many people's lives that they couldn't forget him. And his testimony even today, hundreds and even thousands of years now, beyond his death, his testimony still touches our lives today, doesn't it? How could you forget the Apostle Paul? He'll be remembered until Jesus comes again. A man to be remembered. Because of the caliber of man that the Apostle Paul was, you just can't forget him. He touched so many lives, and his writings have touched my life and your life. One of the greatest qualities I find in the Apostle Paul was Paul's contentment. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Couldn't we all learn from that? How we must remember that. How'd he learn to be so content? When did he learn this contentment? We see this today in the lives of those people in your life and mine that we have admired so long over the many years, and we would aspire to live a life like many of those who have helped us. We see that today in others' lives, don't we? Not just here in the life of the Apostle Paul. Great asset. People you don't ever want to forget who have touched your life. It makes us aspire to want to be like them and to serve the Lord like them, doesn't it? Look at Paul. Doesn't it aspire us to want to be like him and serve the Lord like he did? I want to pick out two things in Paul's life and look at them with you. About a man or a person who we would never forget. A person to be remembered. And the Apostle Paul is certainly one. I want to equate that with our people today that we know in our lives who we'll cherish their memories. Many of them are gone on to heaven. We'll cherish their fellowship if they're still living. We'll always love them and never remember them just like Paul. Two things about his life that stand out to me. First of all is Paul's circumstances. Now, we can't limit our studies of Paul to the book of Acts because there are some other epistles that he wrote that we need to look at to get a complete picture of what we're looking at here. Now, I doubt that any of us has ever or will ever confront the circumstances in life that the Apostle Paul confronted in his life, what he faced all the days of his life. When you see his great faith and his great courage through all these circumstances that he had in his life, doesn't it encourage you? It should. It should arrest us and then challenge us and encourage us all at the same time. Just review with me a couple of circumstances in his life. Two things I picked out, I see in Paul's life that I've seen in those of my friends and those mentors that's helped me, those people who have loved me and prayed for me. I see the same qualities in their lives that I'm seeing here in the life of the Apostle Paul. These circumstances, look at first of all his adversity. We've got to turn over here to the book of Philippians. Turn over there just a moment and look at a verse with me. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 12. This helps us get a better picture of where Paul's talking from. Philippians 1, 12. He says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things, circumstances, that the things, his adversities, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Paul's adversities. When Paul wrote Philippians and Colossians, Paul was not retired in some nice hotel suite overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. Paul was not writing these epistles from some sunny beach somewhere in his leisure time and his retirement years. You've got to remember, when he wrote these epistles, Paul was in Rome, chained to a Roman soldier under house arrest. Luke wrote in Acts 28:16 that when we finally reached Rome, it was doubtful many times if Paul was ever going to reach Rome or not, wasn't it? All the adversities that he faced, all the activities he was involved with, and many attempts on his life from, you know, shipwreck to snake bite to stoning to beating to whatever you want to name, all kinds of adversities would make it look almost doubtful that he'd ever get to Rome. And Luke said, "We finally got to Rome." Well, when they got to Rome, what happened to Paul? They immediately turned all the prisoners over to the Romans. But Paul, they turned him over to a Roman centurion who placed Paul in chains and placed Paul under house arrest. And I want you to notice this. They let him have a house. And by the way, that house that they let Paul stay in was a rented house at Paul's expense. So he had a hired house, but he was still yet chained every day of his life to a Roman soldier, even under house arrest. So you see, Paul's adversity followed him from the Damascus Road conversion until his soon coming death in Rome. You talk about adversity, Paul could write you a volume or two on adversity in his life. Well, think about some of those folks in your life that's blessed you. Think about some of the adversities that they have faced in their lives. It makes you want to be encouraged when they go on through their adversities and all their circumstances that they have faced in their life. And many of them have had some terrible adversities and terrible circumstances to undergo, and they overcame them just like Paul did. It makes me encouraged today. Well, we hold these people dear because they, like Paul, relate to us. They're close to us. They mean something to us. Well, Paul's adversity really stands out in his life. And those who've helped me and loved me over the years, their adversity has really stood out in their lives to me, and I'll never forget them for it. But you know something? I believe there's a common thread between Paul's adversity and the ones that we know and love and who've loved us and their adversity as well. There's a common thread between the two. And you know what I believe it is? Attitude. I've said before and I'll repeat it again. Attitude is everything. When you're facing a circumstance, an adverse circumstance, or you're facing some kind of adversity, it's the attitude you take toward it that has a great bearing on the outcome of what's taking place in your life. Can I get a witness? It's all about the attitude. It really is. Paul says that the things, the circumstances that he says how I have faced, all these adversities, he says nothing more than it was just an opportunity that the gospel could go forward. Now listen to me, church, listen. The most important thing in your life and mine as a church or as an individual is that the gospel go forward. Amen. Above everything else, the gospel. And we've got to take an attitude as a church or as an individual, just like Paul, that above all costs, the gospel must advance. Look at Paul's life. How the gospel advanced everywhere Paul went. Somebody was going to hear about Jesus. Everything that Paul faced, somebody was told about Jesus. What an attitude Paul had. I could name some men and women in my life that I have been friends with many years. Many of them gone to heaven. You wouldn't know them. But their remarkable attitude toward life. And their lives were tough, some of them. I mean, a lot harder than I've ever had adversity. Yet they had such a wonderful attitude. Attitude is everything, beloved. Well, no matter the circumstances to Paul, no matter the adversity in Paul's life, even under house arrest in Rome, chained to a Roman soldier, listen to me, every time they changed guard and a new soldier was chained to Paul, that soldier was going to hear about Jesus. Every soldier ever chained to the Apostle Paul was witness to, I promise you. And did you know something? The Praetorian Guard in Rome was more than a few. It was thousands. It could have been Paul maybe never had the same guard in 2 days. But I promise you this, whoever that he might have been chained to, they heard the gospel. They were witness to, and the scriptures and history too bears out. Paul won many of them to the Lord while he was there in those 2 years under house arrest, chained to a Roman guard. So the great first quality in Paul that I see in his circumstances was his adversity and his attitude. But there's a second thing I want to share with you. Not just Paul's circumstances. I want to share with you Paul's contentment. Go back to Philippians again. And look in chapter 4. And look at verses 11 through 13. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Philippians 4, 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How could Paul remain so content under all the circumstances that he had to face in his life? You don't hear Paul complaining. Find me a passage in the New Testament where Paul complained. It's not there. You don't find Paul feeling sorry for himself that he's been incarcerated in Rome. You don't find Paul having a pity party. Oh me, poor me. Look what's happening to me. You don't even find Paul trying to bribe one of these guards to get a premature release from the chains. But you do find Paul saying, I'm content. He said, I've learned to be content. Excuse me. Notice that word learned, okay? Contentment is not automatically inbred in you through genetics, and it doesn't come automatically when you get saved. Contentment is learned. In whatsoever state, Paul said, I find myself, therewith I'm content. But it's not automatic. Contentment is learned. How did Paul learn it? When did Paul learn it? How did those precious people that you have on your heart and mind right now that mean so much to you, how did they learn to be content? Where did they learn it? How did they obtain it? Why do we admire them so much for the contentment that we find and we see in the lives of all those that we love so much? We see it in Paul's life here. I believe those that we know learned it the same way the Apostle Paul learned it. And I believe you and I will learn it the same way that they learned it. Three things in Paul's life stands out here to me, how he received his contentment. First of all, it was humility, then it was maturity, and then it was dependency. Look what he said. First of all, humility. Look at Paul now. He's an old man, soon be facing death. Look what a humble old man Paul is. I don't believe there's anything worse than a cranky old man. Unless it's a cranky old woman. I wasn't going to let you ladies off on that one. I could have just said a cranky old person got us all, couldn't I? Honestly, though, don't you just regret being around somebody that's old and cranky and cynical? Nothing suits them. Nothing's right but their way. It's their way or the highway, and just won't get along with anybody. You don't find that in Paul. Paul's an old man now. Paul's been through some horrible experiences in his life. He's coming now down to the end of his way, to the end of his life, and look how humble Paul is. Now, we've looked at a great spread of Paul's life. Paul hadn't always been humble. You've got to let your mind drift back. We started studying Paul's life, and he was then known as Saul of Tarsus. He was anything but humble. He was hostile, if you want to say the word. He was almost like a terrorist, if you want to use the word. He hated Christianity so much that he went to the length that he could go to just be hostile and stamp out Christianity. But then he met Jesus. From the Damascus Road conversion of the Apostle Paul, I call him Paul now, until his death in Rome. Look what a great spectrum of humility that Paul learned. Beloved, humility doesn't come wired in either. It has to be learned. It has to be taught. It has to be received. From the Damascus Road experience until right now, we're studying his life, Paul just worked continually on being humble, being humble. If you'll just stop and you just read, you get some extra time. It won't take you about 30 minutes. Read the epistles to the Philippians and to the Colossians, and you'll see the great compassion and the great tenderness and the great humility which Paul wrote when he wrote these two epistles. Well, humility is not born in us, but I tell you what is: pride. Now, we're born with that. All of us got a double dose of pride, I promise you. But humility has to be learned over a long period of time in our life. Can't you see it in the lives of some of those that you're thinking about right now that mean so much to you? Oh, I could just take all my time and tell you about some wonderful people. People that didn't have hardly anything as far as this world's goods are concerned. Others were quite wealthy. It didn't make a difference whether they had worldly goods or whether they didn't. It's an attitude. It's a humility. And it was there in their lives. And it just flowed over into my life. And I admire them. And I love them. And I appreciate them. And I want to live a life like they live. I want to live a life like the Apostle Paul lived here. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I find myself in, therewith to be content. Contentment only comes through humility. If Paul learned it, we can learn it. If those that we know and love so much in our lives that we respect and admire, if they learned it, we can learn it. So the first thing now in contentment is humility. Then I said there were three things, humility. Then I said there was maturity. Look at Philippians 4:13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Was Paul bragging about his accomplishments in Christ? No. Paul was not a braggart. Paul was just stating how he had matured in his walk with Christ Jesus. Now listen, Paul had quite a journey from the Damascus Road conversion to Rome. He had a long time to mature, wouldn't you say? He did a pretty good job of it, wouldn't you agree? Here's my question. Look back in your life and mine. Go back to your Damascus Road experience. Go back to the time when you were born again, the time you were converted by the grace of God through your faith that you put in Christ Jesus and God saved you. From that day until this moment, the journey you began, ever how many years ago it might have been, from then until now, haven't you matured? Some of us, maybe less than others. Some of us, maybe more than others. But wouldn't you have to agree, and can I get a witness that every one of us has matured somewhere from conversion to this point in our life? Surely we've matured some. Paul had quite a distance. He had made quite a pilgrimage from Damascus Road to Rome. We've made quite a distance, many of us here tonight, in our Christian lives. I can go back to my conversion experience. And I can go back and just in my mind's eye, I look at my own life back then. I thought, my stars, what God even bother with me for? But then I look at my life now, what my Lord has exposed me to, the privileges God has afforded me from then until now, the great wonderful people God has let come into my life and have loved me and helped me and tried to guide me, and they always forgave me when I needed it and always stood by me over the years. It makes me humble. It really does. But I thank God for the maturity. Yes, Paul moved from hostility to humility to maturity. There were so many bends, curves, if you will, in the road course of Paul's life. There's been a few bends in the road of my life too. Could you not say that? Amen. Amen. Sure, you have too. Well, let me ask you this. Through the humility from your conversion experience, through maturity into this very moment, have you become content? Are you content? You have to answer that for yourself. Nobody else can answer that. Are you humble? Are you content? Have you grown like those we admire so much? We remember them for their humility and for their maturity and for their growth in the Lord. That's why I want to be like some of them, don't you, in your life? So I said there's three things I admired in Paul. His contentment came through humility. It came through maturity. but it came through dependency. Now look at that same verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now turn back in the book of Acts to chapter 28. I want you to look at the last couple of verses here. Verse 30 and verse 31 in Acts chapter 28. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, look at that, no man forbidding him. How quickly Paul gives credit. How quickly Paul gives all the great glory and all of it to Jesus Christ. For all Paul's contentment, he gives it all to his dependency in Christ Jesus. Through all the adversity he ever had in his life, through all those circumstances he faced in his life, he always gave Jesus the honor and glory for bringing him through them. So he depended totally on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul depended upon Jesus for all his needs. Was he ever disappointed? No. He testifies that he said, I know how to be abased. I know how to get along without hardly anything. And I know how to abound. I've had plenty. He was born into riches. Had the best education you get in a day. Had the best home life you get in a day. The most opportunities that were his. He was abased. He abounded. Paul said, I still depended on the Lord. Paul was permitted to live 2 years in his own rented house. And the Bible says his friends could come and his friends could go. The Jews could come, the Jews could go. The soldiers came and the soldiers went. But I will promise you one thing. Every person that came through that house, that ever came face to face with the Apostle Paul, every single one of them was preached to about the kingdom of God. Every single one of them. And the Bible says he preached it to them, listen, with total confidence. Nobody, no one forbidding him. How can you forget a man like that? How can you forget people in your life that took you aside and went with you and sometimes took you by the spiritual hand and visited places, visited hospitals, nursing homes, homes, wherever, military bases, didn't matter where, and they took you and by their example, they taught you how to tell somebody else about Jesus. You just could hug them right now if they were here, couldn't you? I could and I would, and they know I would. How can you forget people in your life who meant that much to you? How can you forget the Apostle Paul? Don't you want to be like Paul? Amen. And those wonderful people. I know Jesus is our example. But Paul said on one occasion, be ye followers of me. Why did he say that? Because his dependency was 100% in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul could be confident through humility, maturity, and his dependency in Christ. Now, I want to close with this. Listen. Like Paul, every one of us is going to leave this world. Unless Jesus comes, of course, every single person in this building is going to die one day. Here's my question. How do you want to be remembered? Now you think about it. How do you want to be remembered? What do you want folks to think about you when you're gone? I want folks to think about me like I think about some others who have helped me in my life. I want to think that when I'm dead and gone, somebody, somewhere, is going to remember that God used me to be a help in their life. Amen. Don't you want to leave this world like that? Yes. I'll testify, I'm not being proud, I'm being honest. I want to be a person when I die that's going to be remembered, not just gone. Abraham's remembered because it said he was a friend of God. I want to be a friend to God's people because many others have been a friend to me. I'll never forget them. And I hope when I'm gone, somebody won't forget me. What about you? Amen.